can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
All right, folks, welcome aboard. There we go. And we're up and we're running. And my computer. I don't know. Something got on my desk last night or something, but everything was loose. Nothing was connected. Nothing wanted to connect. It was an interesting thing here. But we made it. Here we are, and thank you so much for joining us. And I'm going to get right to my guest because we're going to be really tight on our schedule now. And my sincere apologies. I want to welcome Dr. Willie J. Montague. And Dr. Montague, welcome aboard. Good to have you with me. Thanks for being here this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So I guess let's talk a little bit. I know we're going to talk about the border here in just a minute, but give me a little bit of your background and where you're running for Congress and what made you decide to make this move.
Well, a little bit about me. I was born and raised in North Carolina. I went to Bible College in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And from there, I've been in ministry since I was young, started my first church when I was 16, and just been in ministry, a lover of the Lord, and likewise got involved with politics about the age of 14 when my high school teacher came to me with a sheet of paper that asked basically it showed the different platform issues from the Democrats and the Republicans. And he said, what lines up most closely with your morals? And I chose the Republican side, and that is where I have been ever since. Registered as a Republican at age 18, of course, and have been fighting that fight. I live in Orlando. District 10 is a congressional district that is held up, often stated to be a blue district. But I find it to be an opportunity for us to really shake up some things, bring some godly values, but not only just godly values, but bring some true, hardcore constitutional principles back into this district where it has fallen between the cracks on multiple levels. And so me stepping into running this race is just one to see a change. And I have for the last couple of cycles, you know, to me, it's all about running the race and making sure that individuals know that there is a fighting chance and not just letting liberal and progressive policies get through to the constituents where they need to have more of a conservative take on what's really taking place in our government. And that's all the way from municipality all the way up to federal level.
Now, I know that in the black community, predominantly, the black community is known to vote Democrat. And you have been talking to your constituents and having that debate, obviously, for a number of years. What makes you think that at this point that there's a willingness or a desire to make that turn or make that shift? What do you think has been the breaking point?
I believe that we have seen a shift throughout multiple years, but I think it has been chiseled away in small portions and may not have been able to have the metrics to really show that those are viable differences. But I believe now, especially with us going into the 2024 election cycle, that there are many people who have, if you just turn on the news or even just look on a social media post, you can see how radical and disconnected the radical left agenda is predominantly towards black communities, where it is, in other words, is a suffocation of just really what many of our civil rights leaders and others have stood for to make sure that we have those continued freedoms and not be excluded and put in an island by ourselves, but to be included in the American dream. And I believe that, I mean, people look at what the left is doing, they are taking predominantly the Black community, away from the American dream to make it seem like we are still oppressed and still, you know, not able to survive. If we walk outside the street, we're going to be water hosed. And that's just absolutely ridiculous and not true. So I believe that many eyes and ears have opened to the truth and are willing for a change. Whether we see that change verbally announced or see it on our social medias or whatever, I believe we're going to see it at the polls.
How significant is maybe the waking up to the realization of the assault on Black families relative to what you're talking about? Do you feel like there's a recognition that, hey, wait a minute, you know, and especially if we want to bring the border into this, right? If you're an illegal, they give you money, they give you housing, they give you, you know, that you get all this stuff if you're an illegal, but if you're an American, you don't get those things. Black Americans aren't getting those kinds of assistances, and in fact, Black Americans are being encouraged. And I was years and years ago, my wife and I went through a very difficult financial time 30 some odd years ago, and our church said, hey, you know what, there's aid you can get, and it's for such a time as this. And we know it's temporary, so you should consider applying. And when we did, and my wife's Hispanic, but when we did, they told her, get a divorce, and then we'll take care of you and the children. And so, you know, to my point is, right, the welfare system was designed to destroy families. How much has the awareness now of seeing that contrast, because they're not doing that to the illegals. They're not telling them to break apart in order to get money, break apart in order to get free housing, break apart in order to get food stamps. They're keeping that. But this is a big cry from the left, right? Keep the family together. But when it comes to us, you and I, it's destroy the family. How much is that message resonating, do you think?
I think it's resonating. If we go back to LBJ, this was his whole welfare, great society. Really, that was truly a systematic oppression that he wanted. And he mentioned about, and I won't say the term, that basically he had Blacks voting in for Democrats for 150 years.
Yeah.
So we look at it now, that has just rung throughout the Black communities, from having Planned Parenthoods pop up in predominantly Black communities, and just always seeing a separation. And as you mentioned about you and your wife, I've seen many stories like that where the even shelters here in Florida, if the husband is there, they will not put them in these shelters. It just has to be the woman and the children, and the man has to stay separately at a men's shelter. So I find that to be just very, very disheartening. And I believe that, again, that the predominantly within our Black communities, we are seeing people aware that this has been something that has basically been a lie and deceit that has come in to make it think that the Republican Party is fighting against the truth of the Black community, where really, it's the Democrats that are trying to hold down, oppress, keep families disconnected, all by offering them and waving them a welfare check or some, you know, food stamps in their face and saying, hey, just keep quiet. You know, I'll make sure your children are okay and you have food. Just don't bring the nuclear family back together.
So as you go out, you're challenging essentially what is kind of the historical belief that the Republican Party is the evil white party. And many believe that the Republican Party is the party of the KKK, not realizing that it's actually was the Democrats that used the KKK in order to oppress, and the Republicans that were fighting for the Black vote. As you share those truths, what kind of response do you see?
It is definitely split down, you know, the middle. I believe that there are some that says, hey, I hear what you're saying and I'm all for it. And I've had many people that came and said, Willie, because of your stances and what I've watched and see how you are as a Republican, and that, you know, you're not fitting. And I think, and I want to back up, I think that many people, especially within Black communities, what they're noticing is establishment Republicans. So they're not really seeing those that really have a backbone and a spine fighting for the Constitution. They're seeing those that are on the fence and really just do whatever they need to do to get by, to get votes. So when they see someone like myself who is actually in the community, engaged, involved, that's when they're like, okay, this is not what I thought the Republican Party was like. Willie, I'm coming on board. How can I go? And I've had someone come to me and say, hey, I want to run for school board as a Republican. I'm switching party affiliation. I want to be a Republican. I have people come and say, Willie, I didn't know what a Frederick Douglass Republican was until I started watching you. I want to be a Republican. And so I believe that, you know, you have those that are saying, Willie, you're absolutely right. I just cannot go with that. But I don't know what they're going to vote at the polls, but they're saying that they're not able to get on board, per se, publicly with me, but they do stand for what I stand for.
Let's talk about that for just a minute, and I so apologize, folks, where I'm late. My computer just absolutely, I don't know, maybe a mouse got up on my desk last night. I'm not sure, but I had wires that were disconnected that I have no idea why that happened. At any rate, it was the enemy, we know. You know, I have Black pastor friends who tell me the same thing, who say, listen, you know, I believe with everything and everything that you're saying, everything that you talk about. I mean, I'm on board because it's biblical. I get it. I'm on board with that. But they say, if I came out to my congregation that way, I would, you know, a lot of them, they'd either walk out or they'd throw me out. It'd be one of those two things would happen. And so you're kind of touching on that same thing. How do we get over that hurdle, and when can we get over that hurdle?
I think the when is now. I think the how is individuals like myself have to stop, feel like we're in those years where we're going to lose things and we're not going to have a career. I think we're way past that. We just have to be who God has assigned us to be. We have to speak the truth no matter what. And whatever comes with that truth, we have to take it. I believe that those who are pastors, such as we are, and those who are community leaders, have to make a hard decision. We look at Moses, we look at Paul, we look at Timothy and Titus, and we look at all those throughout the Bible from Old to New Testament, and can see that they had to make a hard decision to either lead forward or to stay where they were and see destruction in their land. And so I believe that where we are right now is where we need to make that hard line drawn and step out forward and say we're going to fight or we're going to lay down and die. That's basically the two options. And so I say that for all the pastors. I say that for all community leaders and those that are just like, I don't know what to do. I don't want to lose my congregation. I don't want to lose friends. Well, the greatest reward is that you gain friends. You can gain new people within congregations. So you got to make a step to do what is necessary, because we have to save this country. And we're saying we're one nation under God. We have to start acting like it. And we need men and women of God who do have a backbone, and as I like to say, who are not jellyback or cowards, that are able to stand up to truth and righteousness and do what is necessary to see restoration in this nation.
One final question, about 2 minutes. I know it's going to be kind of a big one, tough one to get in 2 minutes, but as you're, I think you'll be able to do this. The Constitution of the United States, the United States Constitution, is our Bill of Rights. It is the thing that guarantees the rights of all Americans, right. And our Declaration of Independence states that all men are created equal. Those two documents are tied together as our foundation. How do you see the Constitution applying? Because I hear from the left that, well, the Constitution doesn't apply to Black America. That's why we've got, you know, individuals that are taking knees and all that kind of stuff that's happening. Because they just, for some reason, even though these are athletes that are far more successful than I am, I don't know about yourself, but I mean, you know, they're making millions of dollars. How do you get the connectivity of the Constitution so that they see how it is for all people?
I think that, first of all, I believe that everyone should have a constitution, and everyone should be reading that constitution at least once a year to make sure that we understand that the constitution is for us all. I think that what has happened with individuals like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, they have taken the initiative to just tear down the fabrics of the constitution, the Bill of Rights, and those foundational principles and writings that was established for all Americans. Now, at that time when people talk about it wasn't made for blacks or whatever, things have changed. We have amendments, just like we have amendments to many things that was written. There was a particular denomination that at one time did not accept blacks in that denomination. Later on, they came back and rewrote that. And so, you know, times have changed. But I believe that one thing I can see with the left is that they're always wanting to go back into cave days because they want people to feel like they can never come out of this place of oppression. Our Constitution is for all people, just like God is the God of all flesh. And we need to be able to stand on the Constitution, let the Constitution lead us, and we cannot bow down to this systematic fake wokeness that is out there in today's world from individuals like Sharpton and Jackson, who do not want to see truth. So I believe that our Constitution is what we need to stand on. And for me, I believe in following the Constitution. That's what we lean on. And so I don't feel like it has oppressed me or stopped me in any way. I believe that, you know, we need people who are constitutionalists and move out the way and let everything else be handled by God.
Amen. Amen. All right. Final thing. Give me your website, please.
You can go to team, that's T-E-A-M, Willie, W-I-L-L-I-E.com, teamwillie.com.
TeamWillie.com. Okay, I'm putting it in right now. I apologize. I was searching and I was not able to find it. You might mention to them, I looked up Dr. Willie Montague. As you were, that was one of the things I was trying to do, but it wasn't giving me your website. So tell them to work on the SEO so that they can bring that website all the way up to the very top. We don't want anybody to miss that. I did see a whole lot of articles, though, folks, and your appearance with Gateway Pundit and a whole lot of stuff and a lot of information that's out there. So you can learn more about Dr. Willie Montague, teamwillie.com, to learn more about his candidacy there in Orlando, Florida. And that's the 10th district, did I hear you say?
Correct, 10th district.
Okay. Dr. Willie, thank you for being with me. I greatly appreciate it. I apologize that our time was kind of twisted around, but I've got it recorded for you as well, and I will make sure that you get a copy of this.
Okay. Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, we're going to take our break. Joe Brocato coming up right after this brief break. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size, regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
This is Adam Mundahl with State Air. We need people on radio willing to speak about the Bible, the Constitution, and putting God back in our nation again. So join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. That's 830-446-3624. This has blessed my business, and it will bless yours. Thank you.
Where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Well, folks, man, some major technological assaults this morning on our system. External hard drives wouldn't connect. Cameras wouldn't connect. It's crazy. Anyway, we got a little bit of a late start because of it. My sincere apologies to all of our networks on account of that, but I'm very pleased that we are back up and running, and I'm very pleased to be able to welcome my second guest again. Our first guest, Dr. Willie Montague, and it's TeamWillie.com. TeamWillie.com, got that in at the end, and he is running for Congressional District 10 in Orlando, Florida. So be sure and check that out. Very pleased to welcome my next guest to the program to talk about an interesting topic, the intersection of art and science in its relationship to both life and business. And I want to welcome to the program the author of a new book, Hit It Off, Joe Brocato. Joe, welcome. Good to have you.
Well, it's great to be here. How are you today?
Well, as I said, for a guy that got in a fight with a truck and won, I'm doing pretty good. It's been 6 years, but when you break 34 bones and you die four times, you're grateful for each and every day.
Amen.
So talk to me about your fascination with art and science, and what is that encompassing? And I guess, you know, as a pastor, right? You know, I believe that the Bible and God were the author of art and science. I believe that it's an unfortunate thing that the church decided to distance itself from the very things that that the Bible has, you know, consistently proven to be true, that are validated. I mean, you know, many science people and artistic people understand where that creativity and so on comes from. But talk to me about your exploration, if you will, of those topics.
Well, I'm honored to be here and to talk about this topic is really near and dear to my heart. I'm a lawyer by trade. I've been practicing law now for over three decades. Really enjoy what I do on the legal side of things. I'm also very entrepreneurial and have founded several businesses. And I just meet a lot of people and have met a lot of people from around the world. And over the years, I have used the word fascination. I have become truly fascinated by the process by which we connect with each other as human beings. And one of the basic human needs, according to science, is human connection. And so the book hit it off, 21 Rules for Mastering the Art and Science of Relationships in Life and Business, is really intended to help us create more efficiency in how we go about making that great first impression with someone when we meet them, and then developing that into a long-term emotional connection, really building what I call a unique relationship, one that is difficult, if not impossible, to replace. Because what this does, if you utilize these rules, is you maximize the likelihood of achieving your goals in that relationship. And in the book, in terms of the intersection between art and science, so the art piece of it really is more the intuitive, common sense things that we kind of know about already. You know, a lot of these rules are not very difficult when you really come down to it. But what I did was I actually did a ton of research around psychological, sociological, and business studies and other expert commentary that really get into the efficacy of these common sense intuitive things. And in the book, I actually marry the science with the art and the intuitive, if you will. And that's where I think true mastery is of skills with people.
So give me an idea on a practical level as to how, you know, you would begin to institute this concept, and what makes it genuine versus just simply academic?
Well, first of all, you know, everything needs to be sincere. If it's not sincere, then don't even bother. So you have to, your heart has to be in everything you're doing. But the thing is, when we kind of enter into a relationship and we're trying to pursue a goal, a lot of times we leave a lot to fortuity because we're just kind of used to doing that. We get kind of lazy. But my whole book and the approach really is helping us to apply critical thinking and mindfulness to that interpersonal dynamic. So when I say critical thinking, what we're talking really about are three things: communicating effectively with someone, and that's what the book does. It really helps us with a lot of tools to better communicate with people. Second is really to carefully assess information and really be mindful, be present in the moment, and be acutely aware of what is going on in that situation, then using that really strategically to pursue a goal. And then third really is being as objective as possible when you're in a relationship, leaving your biases and your prejudgments at the door as much as we can. And by using this concept of critical thinking and really approaching relationships in this manner, we're being more strategic. Frankly, we're being more authentic, because we're really identifying what the goal is. And rule number two is called, prepare to achieve goals in reverse more efficiently. And basically what that is using this concept in science called future retrospection, taking the goal, the end vision you have, and then working backwards methodically to the present moment, as opposed to doing it from today going forward. And science shows that actually proves out to be much more efficient in achieving your goal. So really wrapping critical thinking and mindfulness around this interpersonal dynamic really helps us achieve our goals much more efficiently.
Now, what, so let's say in a particular instance, you've read the book, you've quote unquote mastered the book, and now you meet someone and you are, you see great benefit potentially in that relationship. what makes this technique non-manipulative, if you will, when you're dealing with somebody that may not be, a master of hit it off?
Well, certainly, manipulation is not part of the book. It's not intended to be part of the book. Really, what's it intended to do is bring more intentionality to what we're doing, more awareness to what we're doing. We're not in a cloud. We're present in the moment. We're really paying attention to the other person. For example, one of the rules is about active listening, consciously listening to people. Nothing about that's manipulative. What it is making sure we truly understand what the intent of the individual is, not just listening to words. Because listening is not a passive act. We let sound waves go into the ears, and sometimes that's all.
Right.
Listening is actually a very proactive act. Okay, we have to truly pay attention, not be thinking of something else, not be thinking about what we're going to say next, not being distracted by our phones, which sometimes is very difficult because it's a big distraction for a lot of people.
You mean these things
one
here?
Of those. Yeah, one of those. You just happen to have one nearby. I love that. We all do, right? But the bottom line is we really need to pay attention and really understand what that person's goals are, their interests, what they're looking for. And only then can we truly have effective communication. Because remember, that's kind of the first point of critical thinking is communicating effectively. And all too often, we allow our lazy habits to basically just allow us to take in information, but not truly even testing whether or not we're understanding what the person's saying. And if that's the case, what you're going to have is you're going to have miscommunication.
Sure.
You're not going to have
misalignment.
You're going to have misalignment, not the ability to truly communicate and really figure out how to create a win-win relationship.
I'm glad you come to that win-win place because, when you talk about creating, okay, so you've got a plan and so on. I remember years ago, a gentleman wrote a book about the circle of influence. And he actually got a record contract predicated on using the circle of influence because he found the people that influenced the guy that he needed to be influenced in order to give him the deal and then communicated around that circle, to kind of bring that to pass. You talk about starting from the end and then working your way back. Where in the process, though, as you're assessing the other individual's needs and values, at what point is it possible that link, that change, that objective begins to morph or change slightly predicated on a realization about what that other person's needs are?
Absolutely. It's a kind of a living, breathing process. It is subject to change. You may have to pivot as you learn more about the other person because it's a deal, right? When you achieve a goal in a relationship, whether in your personal life or in a business context, it's a deal. And both parties really have to have their core interests satisfied. And so if you're kind of going down that path, you've done the future retrospection kind of exercise, and you get to know the person, you realize that maybe, you're going down a rabbit hole that you shouldn't. The whole idea of future retrospection is to avoid the wrong rabbit holes, right?
Sure.
You want to find the right rabbit holes. So you may find yourself getting close to a rabbit hole that, and I'm not trying to pick on rabbits, by the way. I love rabbits. But we're not trying to, we want to basically be as efficient as possible here. So you have to maybe course correct over time. And that's the whole process. And I say practice this stuff because, in the book, there are a ton of exercises because I'm a big believer that you could understand these intuitive things. You can understand the science behind them and how they're connected to really give you confidence to go out and really maximize the likelihood of achieving your goals. But you have to practice. And what I've done is I've given the reader in the book a start. There are a lot of exercises at the end of the book for each rule. Mm-hmm. You can get started immediately really trying to practice these things on paper, thinking about it, and then you can go out and really try to implement this in your life.
Years and years ago, I was involved in Dale Carnegie training, And that, you know, is one of the things that you do. I mean, the classroom environment is all about interaction, practice the principles and so on, and take an action step so that they become habitual, something you don't have to really think about. You just naturally do. And those seem to be the most successful formulas. What, go ahead. Because you were gonna say something. Go ahead, please.
No, everything you're saying is really spot on to kind of my intent behind the book. And as a, you know, certainly as a spiritual person, I am as well. You know, we want peace. You know, we want harmony in the world. We want great relationships. We want people to get along. We want countries to align and get along. And the book and these rules are really intended to be a roadmap, a toolbox, if you will, to help reinstill civility back into our society in many ways, back into our personal relationships. You know, how often do we see people just arguing with each other? You know, obviously we see the violence that's going on now in society. We see it in our political institutions. There's just a lot of incivility. It's creating some pretty ugly byproducts. There's a tremendous amount of anxiety and depression and thoughts of suicide with young people. These are things that are all kind of intertwined and baked together. And we have rules for everything, pretty much. Certainly have rules from a spiritual standpoint, depending on what religion you are. We have rules for a baseball game. You know, we have rules for a football game. We have rules of the road. But if you really think about it, we don't really have a set of rules to govern how we interact with each other.
Right.
I really think that.
Well, love your neighbor as you love yourself. I would hope I would, you know, it would be nice if we could. If we could work our way back to that once again, and it sounds like, I mean, to a degree, that's a lot of what you're talking about, right? Because as you're, you know, if you're in a solid place, then you're a lot better able to be solid with somebody else. My wife and I learned this in our, you know, 36 plus year marriage, you know, when we are vertically in tune with God, then we are going to be horizontally right. And usually the horizontal gets off track when our vertical gets off track.
Well, alignment is everything. And a lot of times if we are not being thoughtful about how we go about interacting with people and pursue our goals in life, however we define success. Everybody defines success differently. I'm not going to stand here or sit here and try to define success for anybody. We can all define it for ourselves. But however you define it, doesn't it make sense to apply a set of rules that will help you achieve that success much more efficiently? Because otherwise, like I said before, we're kind of leaving things to fortuity, and that's never a great business model.
What are the safeguards, again, going back to my question about the manipulation side of this, what are the safeguards, you know, because we've all been in situations where, you know, the person we're dealing with seems to just be a very smooth operator. And it seems like today, especially, there's a lot of this, you know, manipulation in a culture and in a society that many studies would suggest has become somewhat amoral, where it really is, it's a me kind of thing, and whatever's best for me. How within the context of Hit It Off, do you guide people to say, okay, if make sure as you're evaluating your objective that you are, you know, from a principled standpoint, being concerned about what the person you're dealing with is going to get from this, or how is this going to be, as you said, a win-win, mutually beneficial relationship?
Well, again, I think it really comes down to being more thoughtful about the interaction. You know, one of the rules is all around emotional intelligence and really pegging the emotional tone of yourself and the emotional tone of someone else and really kind of taking the conversation, taking the relationship from there. If someone is, you know, certainly giving off a vibe that you're feeling uncomfortable with, that triggers an emotion in you. You have to pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. You can't ignore that. And by the way, the book isn't intended to be a foolproof way to avoid scam artists, right? And and if I had that secret, you know, I wouldn't have to work another day in my life. But the point is, you know, we have to reduce the risk of being taken for granted and being used. However, that's going to happen from time to time. There's a rule around trust, which is a big part of, I think, the heart of your question, which really is, you know, you have to somehow be willing to be vulnerable at some point to give a little bit of trust to people. Mm-hmm. And I meet people from all around the world all the time. And I am of the firm belief that the vast super majority of people out there are really reasonably good people, very good people. They're reasonable. They're pragmatic. I think sometimes the media blows things out of proportion. You know, they gin people up around different things. But I think people are pretty fair-minded and pretty trustworthy at the end of the day. However, you can't give away blind trust. People have to earn it. So when you're applying critical thinking to this concept of gaining trust, you have to really take measure of, are you demonstrating to the other person that you're trustworthy? And are you
self-examination? Yeah, self-retrospection and self-examination.
Absolutely. You have to set a good example for the other person. And then obviously, you know, you're not going to trust a person outright necessarily with everything, but you have to try a little bit and work from there. But when you really focus on the concept of trust, that, according to the science, it really helps create that emotional bond. And once that bond is there, that creates that uniqueness. That then becomes a relationship that's difficult, if not impossible, to replace, because a lot of people are not really trusting. You know, people have been, they've been used, they've been manipulated, and so they're not real trustworthy. However, if you have that attitude going through life, you're not really going to be developing the right types of relationships with people that you could. So the whole idea of that rule is really, to help give you confidence that there are trustworthy people out there. You might get railroaded from time to time. That's just the cost of doing business, being a human being, and try to interact with others. But hopefully, the vast majority of the time here, it's going to work to your benefit, and you're actually going to be able to work trust reciprocally so both people can really achieve their goals for the relationship.
You know, as a pastor, obviously, you know, my perspective that I come from, and initially is with all of us, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so subsequently, we start out with understanding that human beings are flawed. And one of the reasons for the extension of the gospel is that God helps to unflaw, if you will, us. And then give us a set of beliefs and principles then to live by, but he gives us the ability to be able to live by them. And, you know, books, things like Hit It Off that take those tools then and using that foundation that I just described, now it gives you a practical means by which to use the things that are written in the good book, if you will. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And when you talk about, you know, all of us being basically fallible, you know, we're not perfect. One of the rules in the book is really generally around this concept, because, you know, there's a lot of science around when you're building a bond with people and you make a mistake, you should admit the mistake. A lot of times human pride gets in the way, and that's a problem. If you're really trying to create that emotional bond with people, that connection, you have to take stock of your humility and be able to admit a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. And what the science shows is when you do admit mistakes to the people you're dealing with, person you're dealing with, that's going to massively, massively increase the trust of that individual in you. They're going to open up. They may admit their mistakes a little bit more. And now you've got real communication. And that's where the foundation for a more civil society really resides.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Very good. All right. Very quickly, I've got the website up on the screen. Hit it off the book.com. HitItOffTheBook.com by Joe Brocato. Joe, just a final minute. Give me a 60 or 60 second, your elevator pitch, brother.
Well, I want to push a book signing that I've got coming up. So I would love if you have viewers and listeners in the Chicagoland area, which I am a resident of here. We'd love to have you at Barbara's Bookstore in Lombard, Illinois on October 14th at 3 p.m. I'm going to do a little talk about the book, the inspiration behind the book, why it's really important, go over some of the things that we talked about today in more detail, and so hopefully sign a bunch of books. And I would love for everybody to follow me on social media at Joe Brocato Official. I post fairly regularly about a lot of different types of topics, and really, really appreciate the time here and having this great conversation. I really enjoyed it.
Joe, thank you so much for being with me today. Hang on just a minute. All right, folks, we're at the top of the hour. We've got a whole another hour coming up. Dr. Gene Douglas joins us on the other side, and then a special conversation with Melanie Collette that was recorded yesterday. We'll be sharing that with you in the bottom half of the next hour. I'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break.